Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Getting back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, by the way, was the mental health of people. I want to talk to Caroline. Caroline, good evening or good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm all right now.
Well, you're not all right because sadly...
No, I'm not. Well, I'm trying to be nice.
Okay, but your husband took his life.
He did, yeah.
On the 9th of October. Okay, how old is he?
59.
What was his name, by the way, his first name?
Gar.
Okay, all right. Just so we can think of him today, all right. And what led up to him doing that? I'm really, really, my condolences to you and to your family and to all his friends. What led up to that point?
Well, Gar was a bass player in a band and they were doing really well. And he had actually played sold out Olympia Theatre there on the 13th of January, sorry. And then they were due to start up their tour again in March and the lockdown hit. So, Gar, at first, like, he was just sitting around playing his guitar or whatever, you know, and then he started getting depressed. In about April, he started feeling really low about it. He didn't, like, nobody likes to be isolated. He went to the shop one of the days and he actually had to have a whiskey when he came back. He was that freaked out by masks and gloves and everything. So we tried to get him some help come start of June when he said, because he was out trying to help himself. He was out jogging. He was doing everything. He was eating healthy. He wasn't drinking. He was trying to do what they always tell you to do, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And because Gar always suffered with his mental health since he was 14. But
okay, so he did suffer from depression anyway. Things like this could push him over the edge. Yeah.
So he knew what he had to do, if you get me, writing things down, et cetera, et cetera. So he went to see the doctor, and the doctor wouldn't give him anything to help him sleep or anything because they were afraid he'd get addicted at first. So I was working, because I work in a crèche, so I was back to work and I actually hadn't slept in a week because of it. And I'd asked the doctor to give him something. Like I said, look, I can go around, score drugs off the drug dealers if I need Xanax or something. So, like, can you just give him something to help him take
just
the
to relax
off?
Him, just to relax him, yeah.
This is why we're waiting to see mental
and
health.
I know we've skipped a load of months there, but in between, obviously, he wasn't gigging because obviously there was nobody gigging.
So nothing. He'd no friends. He'd no contact with any of his friends. Obviously, because we were abiding by guidelines. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And he was just in the house, just strumming away on the guitar, bored out of his head.
Yeah. Yeah. Bored. And, like, he was just struggling big time. But we were waiting on a mental health appointment. And due to COVID and all, you know, it's all done through Zoom. So I ended up having to bring him to the A&E one morning because he told me on one Saturday morning that he was going to kill himself. And he couldn't do it anymore. So I brought him to A&E. And he told the hospital that he was suicidal or whatever, and they sent him home.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that was the first one. And then they brought him in for a mental health appointment. I went with him. And then he got slowly was getting worse. And I was explaining, they just pumped him up with a lot of meds, you know, the usual.
Yeah, yeah.
And he felt very dumb and blank, that there was no feelings at all. So I brought him to, I had surgery and I couldn't walk. So he ended up trying to jump off a bridge and his brothers actually saved him from doing it. And the guard came along as well and they brought him to, we convinced him to go to A&E. And he went into A&E, and I was told that he didn't tick the boxes he wasn't suicidal enough to be in there.
Even the very thoughts of he wasn't suicidal enough to be seen. I mean, just to even think about that statement in itself, I don't know if that's the exact words they used, but to think about somebody saying that or somebody suggesting that, you know what I mean? Yeah. You would imagine all the help that should be available to you in that situation.
Exactly. And I had told them, like, I'd had major surgery and I wasn't able to do suicide watch. Like, I was minding the guard as best I could. I was doing everything to try help them. But, like, I was getting no help from any medical facilities or anything. All they wanted to do was pump up with drugs. So it ended up, they told me he had an appointment the next day. They actually let him go out of the hospital without being collected. I said to them, I can't get down there. How am I going to collect them? And they told me it wasn't their problem. So I have a 23-year-old daughter who got into her car and went down and found him on the top of the Lorgan Jail carriageway with his head against the bus stop in the lashings of rain. just like a lost soul. And she actually brought him straight to my GP, who gave him 2 sleeping tablets to get him through the night. And then he went to bed with his brother for the night till he got to the mental health appointment. And even at that, when he went to the mental health appointment, they weren't going to admit him again. But my sister-in-law is a psychologist, and she said, look, he cannot, he's going to do something. He needs to be put in somewhere. So he ended up going into the facility. Then they transferred him to the John of God. Then he was put back into the facility. And within the 2 days of being back in the facility, he was let out. And he was discharged. And then he went back in then on the Wednesday, the week before he died. And they had taken him off some meds. And then they let him out. They told him on the Monday, because he was off the meds or whatever, that they were discharging him on the Thursday. But I asked them not to discharge him.
And good, because you, knowing him as well as you would.
I knew.
They don't
check with families. And Gar was so, he was so detached from reality, and he didn't know his own thoughts. Like, some days he couldn't even ring me. He had to text me because he couldn't think. He couldn't string a sentence together.
I can imagine what he must have been going through, yeah.
Yeah. But it ended up, they sent him home because they wanted the bed for somebody else. That's the bottom line. And he, at the time, he got home 2 hours on the Thursday, and he said to me, I gave out to him because he said to me, have I done the right thing coming out? And I said, are you for real? I said, you told me that you wouldn't come out till you were 75% better, because I knew if I got him to 75%, I could help him.
You could help him, of course, yeah.
And he said, look, it wasn't my fault. They wanted a bed for a girl upstairs. And I said, sorry. So there was no follow-up from the hospital. He had nothing to go to the next morning. So he was up all night on the Thursday night. I was up, like, kind of in and out of sleep with him, moving around because I was on edge. And I had to go to work. So I went to work, and his brother contacted him at 11:30. And then, he said he was on the way with coffee. And when his brother came over, the hall door was locked. I'd locked it going out because I was so used to him being in hospital. Never even thought. And then I got home at 1:30 and I found him hanging in our shed.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry.
So he was trying to get help, but I think, like, the way he felt was that the whole system pushed him out. And that they, like, he was a burden on the whole system. Do you know what I mean?
A lot of people have said that, and I know they have. Don't get me wrong, I know the system has helped some people, but it just isn't good enough. And particularly during COVID-19, the system has failed so many people because the system is not as good as it was or should be. And obviously this was, I mean, don't get me wrong, you said that he did suffer from depression anyway, but in saying that, COVID-19, you believe the lockdowns and the restrictions.
He was the most happiest go-lucky fella before this happened. Most happiest go lucky. Like, he was in great form. Like, I have videos of him and us having a laugh. Like, do you know what I mean? And
it must have been difficult on you too, Caroline. And, you know, and by the way, I'm not negating the fact that you've lost your husband now, but it must have been very difficult on you having to deal with that and try to help him at the same time. And then your mental health, of course, is being affected by that too, you know?
Of course. And then, like, we've 3 small children who are sitting there watching their father deteriorate every day. Do you know what I mean?
And like, how are the kids now? How are they now?
They're devastated.
Do
you know what I mean? Like, and the problem is in this country is now, like, the HSC has to stand up and recognise they're all going on about this lockdown. You know what I mean? Like, to have people for beds, etc., etc. I know there's beds there and they're not being used, but the people that need them for mental health because they're suffering from this aren't being facilitated.
See, here's the thing, right? If you have a broken leg, you get a bed, right?
Yeah.
But if you have a broken mind, you won't get a bed because we can't see it. And it's equally as important, if not even more important, because, you know, a broken leg or having a broken leg is not going to cause you to take your own life.
No.
But having a broken mind certainly would.
Yeah, and this is the problem. Now, when Gareth died, the paramedic that arrived on site told me that Gareth was her 4th suicide in 3 days over this.
Oh, my.
And the funeral home that I had Gareth's funeral with, they had 3 suicidal deaths the week before. Another girl who left the facility a week after my husband died, she was 34, she took her own life as well. 3 kids left behind too. Like, this is the problem. This is what people are going to have to wake up and realise. COVID is not killing people. Suicide is killing people. There is more death if they don't the actual if they could get, if we could get hold.
We don't have the, I mean, they won't give
them out. They won't do it. They won't give us the
figure. I know Padraig Tobin was talking about this. They don't actually have the figure yet because they haven't compiled the figures yet and don't till the end of the year or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But how come they can get the figures from COVID? Do you know what I mean?
I know. I get you.
I just don't get it. And like, unfortunately, like, you're talking like this, we're going through winter now and you're going to just see more and more and more. Like, when my husband was in the hospital, a lad hung himself up in our laneway. Like, in front of kids during the day. Do you know what I mean? This is how bad it is. And, like, this is going to have, like, I don't know, like, I've lost my mother, I've lost my niece, but I have to say, I have never experienced anything like this, a bereavement like this.
Well, Caroline, the very fact that you walked in and witnessed it, yeah, you know, I mean, and I, are you getting a little bit of help now as well? Because for you, that's something you'll never unsee, unfortunately.
Well, I can't get help because I'm getting phone call help, but nobody can see me because of this lockdown. There's no face-to-face. And, like, as you know, like, if you're suffering from that, well, I'm not, like, I don't normally suffer from mental health. Now, I am struggling in my own self.
Well,
like,
I can imagine.
You know, at the moment.
Well, you just had a bereavement. Not only a bereavement and the loss of your husband, but you had to witness it as well, which makes it even worse because, as I said, it's something that you can't unsee when you walked in and saw that sight. You know, and I'm very, very, I'm really, really sorry to hear that, you know, that happened. And A, that your husband took his life, and B, that you had to witness that. I mean, that's something that you need help to deal with as well.
I know. And the problem is that, like, any of the therapeutic stuff and all, they can't do because of lockdown. And, like people need support. Do you know what I mean? Like, people need to have face-to-face. Like, I remember going with Gareth to the mental health institution, like, do you know what I mean, where we had to go. And he's sitting there wearing a mask. And you're trying to tell a doctor this. He has a mask on. You, can you imagine, like, suffering? And I was sitting there going, Jesus Christ, if I was suffering with my mental health and I had to sit here, I wouldn't be able to, like, tell somebody with a mask. I'd get paranoid. I'd be stuttering over my words. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, I get you, yeah.
It's absolutely shocking. Well, look, and something needs to be done.
Listen, thanks for sharing that with us today, and I hope you're okay, and I hope you get the help that you need, and your children as well, of course, because they've just lost their daddy too. So, and I'm really sorry to hear that. I'm sure he has lots of friends who are in the business out there, maybe listening in today as well. And I'm sorry that Gar took his own life. I really am. Very young man to lose his life. But look, hopefully the message goes out, and hopefully somebody is listening, and other people will reach out maybe and get a bit of help as well if they're listening too.
Yeah, and just one last thing as well. It's the fear that they're instilling into people. Like, Gareth's own parents are afraid to leave the house. They haven't done so since March. Like, it's disgusting. It's absolutely horrible.
Okay. It's very well made point. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Again, my condolences to you and your family and all your friends and to Gareth's friends as well. That's Caroline, whose husband sadly took his own life on the 9th of October, and she firmly believes it was because of the lockdowns. She said basically his mental health went in spiraled downward since the lockdowns came in March. He was a bass player in a band, had gigs lined up, everything. And of course, musicians out there listening today will know that they probably haven't played a gig since March, or at least very few of them. If you had a wedding every now and again, maybe somewhere between August and September, you might have got away with one or two gigs, but that's about it. Can I mention as well, by the way, if you are affected by anything like that, or if you need a little bit of help or someone to talk to, you can contact the Samaritans. The helpline is 116123. That's 116123. Or indeed, there's the other usual outlets as well. You can contact Pieta House, or you can contact your own mental health facility. And if there's help available to us, but as Caroline pointed out, nowadays it is a bit more difficult to get that help that you probably need.